The Nikki Glaser Podcast. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Yeah, there we go. Hi, besties. Hi, Noah.
Hi.
How's it going? Happy Tuesday night when you're getting this, maybe Wednesday morning when you're listening to this. Oh, we're deep into week four of the pod. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you get on that Instagram. We have a private Instagram account, Nikki Glaser Pod. You can request access. And then if you start getting creepy, we'll boot you out. But it's a fun time over there. Between you and me, Noah, I feel free to post on there. It's almost like my Finsta.
What is Finsta?
Like fake Instagram that some girls used to have where they would post like, it was kind of like a before close friends or whatever, you know, where they would let you like only post things for your close friends. You would post like hot pictures of yourself and then all your girlfriends could be like, you look so hot. And it was like for you to just like put out stuff you wouldn't put on your regular one.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I put a video. I was just like in a bikini because we were at the pool after we recorded. And then there was some funny content and I was happened to be in a bikini and I just didn't want to like put on shorts and something to like make it. And I'm like, I really struggle with putting bikini stuff on Instagram because I was talking to my spray tan lady who came over yesterday because she has like an Instagram where she has a lot of that stuff up because she goes, are your followers mostly men? And I go, yes, it's like 69% men. No joke. Like no pun intended. And I don't put on my regular account and I don't put up like, you know, thought pictures. And I said that to her. I go, she goes, mine is too. And I go, yeah. And I don't even put up like bikini shots. And she's like, oh, I do. And I was like, nothing wrong with that. I actually think I'm getting into it on my other account. Not because I want the fire emojis and I want everyone to tell me how hot I am, but because who cares? It's like, I have this like deep inner shame to be like perceived as sexy or like, because if you're sexy, that means you must be trying to be sexy. And the only okay sexiness is one where you're like, she doesn't even know she's sexy. And then everyone allows you to be sexy in that way.
Like, right. It's like borderline kuh.
It is kuh that you can't, I mean, someone say being sexy is cool because you like are trying to be something and perceived a certain way. But there's like this, men don't seem to have a problem with women being sexy and like flaunting it. I mean, yes, a lot of them are like, they always have dumb captions and then their tits are out. It's like, why are you following them? You're the problem. But most of the time it's other women who are like, oh my God, this is so sad and desperate. Look at her. Oh my God. Screenshots, share it with my friends to like talk about her. When in reality, and I've talked about this before, whether or not you want to do that, there's a small part of you that is angry because you can't do it. Not because you're fat or because you don't like your body or because, you know, it may be because of that. You don't like your body. You would never do it. And so you have deep resentments for anyone who doesn't have a problem with their body, but that's it. It's like, when I get mad at girls for being sexy, it's because I'm jealous of the freedom they have to control the narrative about themselves and to be like, because I'm so scared of someone calling me a whore, thinking I'm a whore, making me feel like, oh, guys only like your comedy because they want to fuck you. And then that makes me believe that. And then it makes me obsessed with my looks because I don't want people to stop liking my comedy. It's just so stupid. And anyway, I put a video up yesterday and it was funnier than it was sexy for sure. But I happened to be in a bikini. It was very not something I would normally post.
It was a very nice bikini.
It's Carlisle's. It's from Target.
Nice.
It's like my favorite one. I spent like $600 on bikinis to come out here. Sorry, Kirsten, who's listening. You went out and shopping for me because I couldn't one day because I was too busy. But all of those really don't fit and my nipples pop out. And I had to wear Band-Aids over my nipples yesterday to wear this one top. And then it just looked like I had Band-Aid nipples. So then I was like, why wouldn't I'd rather someone see a nipple than be like, did Nikki have a bandage on her nipple. Like, what's been happening to her? So, yeah, Target for the win. A Target swimsuit that I stole from Carlisle for the win. Carlisle Forrester, go follow her. She does a great Paris Hilton impression that she's has online right now. My point is that I'm struggling with being perceived as sexy because I've had a lot of people in my past. A common thing that I hear is, Nikki, no more sexy for you. Let's just do comedy. You're funny. No, we're not doing sexy for you anymore. Whether it was on my show, Not Safe, in which I had just gotten done doing Nikki and Sarah Live on MTV, where it was super sexy. I got to dress like a Barbie doll, fake hair. It was like, I literally looked like a Barbie doll. It was really fun. It was exhausting. It's a lot of work. And you're wearing short skirts and uncomfortable heels and stuff. But you do feel like sexy and cool and fun. Then it went to Not Safe. Let's get away from that. Let's just be the girl next door, which turns out to look like a girl without makeup and a bad haircut. I resent every picture from that period of my life. I'm looking into having all the pictures from my Not Safe promo wiped from the internet because I just don't like my face or my hair or my just style or anything. But I was trying to appease people who wanted me to not be sexy anymore. I've also had other like friends, well-intentioned, say no more sexy for you. Like it's a look. It looks like you're trying. Thank you. It looks like you're trying, and we don't need to do that anymore. And I've always fallen for it, and I've gone, you know what? You're right. I don't need to be sexy. We can just dress like shit, and like guys can still like our comedy. And it's like, yes, that's true, but I'm not gonna be. First of all. All these people telling me this are in relationships. I'm single. And I understand that like the way to find a man isn't to dress like a Barbie doll all the time, but it kind of is. You've read the book Getting to I Do, which by the way, Noah, I told a couple people.
Yes.
I told one girl on the island about this book. She was just breaking up with her boyfriend, of 6 months, a week ago. And she was really sad. They broke up. And I go, you need to read this. I go, he's not the one, but read Getting to I Do. And I go, I gave her the gist. She had no idea about female and masculine energy in a relationship, the yin and yang. And if this is all sounding very foreign to you, pick up the book Getting to I Do by Dr. Pat Allen.
Or you can listen to Sex with Emily. She had a really great episode on that we listened to.
Oh my God. I would love for you to link the episode in our Nikki Glaser pod. That was a really good one. Let's look up what it was called. But that book, so I just gave her the brief synopsis of it. Noah, this is wild. So I just go, listen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, seriously, get the book Getting to I Do or listen to the podcast that Noah is going to post on our Nikki Glaser pod story.
It was her best of
Sex with hotter, Emily.
Best of Hotter, Deeper Sex with John Wineland. From March 3rd.
Wineland, March 3rd, Sex with Emily podcast. It really gives like a synopsis of the whole, I would say, very true theory that has worked for many of my friends that is presented in this book that Whitney Cummings originally suggested to me. I want to give her credit. I spread it throughout my friends. All my friends have read it. It has changed two of my best friends' relationships so massively. They would not be with the men that they are with today who worship them and who are like they're engaged to these men. And I used to like not like these guys and be like, they're worthless. Get them out of your life. They don't deserve you. And now these guys are perfect for my friends. And I am so like happy and jealous of them. But so I gave this Noah, we were hanging out and I told this girl, I go, listen, there's a female and a male energy in every relationship. A lot of times women are, the feminist movement has taught women to be very like self-assured. And the woman I'm talking to is a badass bitch. Like she is intimidating as fuck, even though she's the nicest person. But on set, she's like really gets shit done. And I go, you're screaming masculine energy in your job. And I wonder if he's masculine energy and you come home with this masculine energy and it's just, it's just magnets with the same currency, getting unattracted to each other. And she was like, interesting. And I explained a little bit and I go, listen, having a guy who has a feminine energy does not mean he's a pussy. It's like, I wish there was a different word for it because men
I call
are,
it yin and yang.
Yeah. So yin being the feminine, yang got the wang. no, but most of the time men are the masculine and women are the feminine, but those roles can switch. I am a masculine energy woman in my working life and probably more feminine energy in my relationship, but I'm still trying to figure it out. And the reason I'm probably single is because I can't really figure out which one I am. But once I lock into it and I find someone who is the opposite and make sure that those roles, if they ever reverse, I reverse with them. So we're never the same, that it will be a healthy relationship that can last forever. Anyway, I just barely drew this outline for her of like mask. And I go, he sounds like a feminine energy guy. She went and had a talk with him. They waited, I think, 2.5 weeks before they talked, after they like separated kind of. And she sat down with him and she just, and I go, the basics are, if you're a masculine energy woman, most of the time girls listening, you're going to be a feminine energy woman. That's just like most of the time, I would say 70% of the time you're going to be feminine energy. Never say the word, I think, only say I feel. And you never ask a man how he feels unless he is on fire. You only ask a man what he thinks, a masculine energy man. However, if you're a masculine energy woman, you lead with I think. You ask him how he feels. Does that make sense? Now, if you're one or the other, and you can take a test and figure out what kind of woman you are and what kind of person your partner is, this will save so many relationships. So if you're out there and you want to better your relationship, or you want to like dig one out of the dirt that you're like, oh my God, this guy got away, I would like it for us to be married, this book works. Noah, any thoughts?
Can we just let whoever is going to pick up this book know that we cringed so hard reading it? Like, it's going to be very hard to read
Yes. The
first couple of pages without getting infuriated, but just keep going. It starts to make sense. It all subsides.
I used to have a joke about it being like, you just have to be a handmaid the rest of your life. If like, because if you're a feminine energy woman, you got to dress sexy. You got to like, or dress like showing your skin. You have to be a lot of like, yes, dear. Like, it's a lot of like, just kind of, it doesn't seem great. But if you're, I am someone who's obviously doesn't want to lose any of my autonomy as a woman. And I was trying to be a feminine energy woman, and I kind of loved it. You don't make any plans. You let the guy totally lead. You literally don't do anything. And the guy's like, get off on it. I sent one excerpt that I was laughing so hard at from the book that I sent to you and a friend of mine. It said, there's this, so this woman that wrote the book is like 90 at this point. Her name is Dr. Pat Allen. She does have a radio show, but one of the excerpts from the book was, make sure he is not a binging sex addict gratifying his feminine need. Okay, this is for a feminine man. Make sure he is not a binging sex addict gratifying his feminine need to feel good at any cost, even if the cost to both of you is AIDS. And this was written in like the 90s, I think, but it's AIDS is capitalized as it should be, but it just looks like she's screaming at you, AIDS.
She probably is.
Honestly, she was on my radio show, You Up with Nikki Glaser. You can, I think there was clips of it. Aren't there video clips? Yeah, it's on YouTube, Dr. Pat Allen with Nikki Glaser. So some of these theories are covered. But if this is new to you, I'm so excited to introduce you to the world of Getting to I Do, the book that you have to read with a fake cover on it so that no one catches you with it. And you have to rip the cover off and order it, and it has to arrive in like a discreet packaging, like a dildo, because it's so humiliating. Yesterday, literally, I was talking about this book in front of guys, and I was just like, sure, Joe. And they're like, what? And I was like, can I just tell you later? There's a couple guys listening, and it's humiliating. Andrew knows about it. He hates the book because I talk about it all the time. Let's get him in here. Andrew! Hey, buddy.
Hey, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, pal. Good morning.
How'd you sleep?
I slept. Okay.
Yeah.
We had fun last night.
Yes.
Did you say anything about the rap party?
Yeah, we can talk about it. We can talk about everything.
What about
this show's fucking over, you know? I can spill all the secrets. Just kidding. I can't talk about the show, but
yeah, I signed an NDA too.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Flavor Flav was cool at the bar.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
We know that he's here. We've divulged that this show is based around Flavor Flav, and it's a very exciting opportunity for me to work alongside him, and I think it's going to be huge.
I wish that was the show so much.
Around my head.
No, we had fun. We danced. We're both
last
sober.
Night was a rap party. Here's the thing. The show does not finish filming until Thursday, I believe. Is the last day?
Yeah, Thursday or Friday, I guess.
But we don't have everyone's flying out like right away. I really did fuck my voice up screaming for you. God damn it. We had the rap party before the last day of filming so that everyone could like get it in. The problem is you have to go back to work after you do embarrassing rap party things, which we didn't do because we are sober. But we had a rap party here at the place we're staying at, this dock where like everyone kind of just saunters over, and there was like a DJ and there was dancing and it was fun. I had so much fun.
I feel like when you don't drink, you can have just as much fun as people that are drunk. But for me, at least, it gets old quicker. So like when I'm drunk, I could dance for 5 hours and sweat and fucking just get grimy, and I just want to keep the party going. Mm-hmm. When I'm sober, I got a good 40 minutes of pure fun before I start going, all right, I did it.
Well, here's the thing. When you're drunk, you're not really like having fun. That 5 hours flies by. You don't remember it. You don't like remember what you felt when you were dancing the songs. Like, and some people may be going, yes, I do. If a song gets you dancing sober and you're not someone who really dances, and you really, a song excites you and a vibe on the dance floor or the friends you're with excites you so much to dance when you're sober, that is so much more enjoyable than your 5 hours of drunk dancing. It's the same as sex. Like, I used to be able to have sex so much easier when I drank, but now for me, because I was just like drunk, right? But now if I get horny enough, I get drunk. Like, I legit feel that kind of like pull to do something that's like crazy, that, you know, a sober person licking someone's face and then like making noises like, oh, like you gotta be fucked up on something. And it's like the chemicals in your brain being like, I want to have a penis in me. And that's so much more exciting than Jaeger pulsing through your system and making you dance or make out with someone who you don't even like. So the thing about being sober is not that it's like, it's so boring, how will I have fun anymore? When you stop drinking, you realize the things you thought you were doing that were so fun aren't fun. And then when the things are actually fun, you will do them still too. And if you can't dance when you're sober, then get over yourself. And if you enjoy dancing, but you just won't let yourself do it because you're worried what people are thinking, no one's watching you.
And there's going to be a period if you do decide to stop drinking where everyone's going to go, come on, don't be a little bitch. Just fucking have
they
a drink,
want you,
dude.
It's the same people who want you to get married when they're in miserable relationships. The same people that want you to have kids when they have kids that they don't really like. It's like, join my party because I could never. It's the same as, Nikki, you need to stop dressing sexy. Because I don't think I would look that sexy secretly, and I'm too ashamed to do it. And I've made some kind of weird stand where I'm not allowed to like lean into being hot. And so I now want her to not look hot because I know that I put myself in a corner where I can't. And it's like, yes, you can. Anyone can.
It is funny when like the guy that's like, don't be a bitch. And then I'll get hammered. And then late at night, he like whispers in my ear. He's like, I kind of want to quit drinking too.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
What did you guys tell your friends when you stopped drinking the next time you went out and everyone ordered a drink and you didn't? Do you remember that?
I quit drinking because I have a problem with it and I black out, and it's making my relationships with men based solely on drinking, and I just want to see what it's like without it. And probably I'm going to realize you all kind of suck because our whole friendship is based solely on getting wasted, and then I'm going to be around you sober and realize that after three drinks, you're loud, you only talk about yourself, you hurt my ears because you're screaming in them too closely, and I don't really think I want to be friends anymore. And yeah, that might mean that I don't have any friends anymore, but it's better than being friends with people where our friendship was completely based on drinking a poison together that made us more mentally, I don't want to say that word, but have retardation of mentally, because that's what it does do to your. I'm not trying to be funny.
No,
here.
I know,
it really
but,
does
but
make.
You, but you trying to say it correctly?
No, but that's what it does. It makes you. It makes you stupider. It doesn't make you. The reason you get courage, or the reason you get liquid courage, or I'm just more myself and more fun. It's because you're dumber. You're a child again. Your brain returns to a state in which you don't have as much intellect or wherewithal. So of course you're going to be freer. You're an idiot.
What happens?
And I used to love drinking,
sorry,
so I get it.
Yeah, no, but like to Noah's point about like, you know, what did you order? What will happen is like your friends, unless you have like a really bad drinking problem or you're like a really bad alcoholic, they think. Oh, come on. You don't. It's not that bad.
It's not for
you.
Them to decide. So
yeah,
that's your,
for
that's,
sure.
That's for you to say, you know I don't black out, or I know I don't get DUIs, but my relationships could use help. It's like, say something cool like that. That'll make them all go, okay. Like if your friends can't accept that, then they suck. Honestly, it's a great test of friends.
And then people are like, what's your rock bottom? And it's like, unless you're like, you know, having sex with like a sewer and you know, you wake up
trying
with
to fuck the it clown.
Yeah. Come
you're
on, dude. It's like, come on, just fuck me, it clown. But no, but unless like it's something horrendous where like, you know, you wake up and you're fucking a goat is inside you or something, people are like, it's not, come on, dude, you're, it's not that bad. And
because
so it's like everyone wants to like, kind of justify.
It's all their own thing. Anyone who judges you about anything ever is because their own insecurities. But
I
want to get back to the rap party.
I do think though sometimes like I'm not coming on. If you're drinking, have fun.
I also don't care if people drink at all. Last night I go literally drink like there's no tomorrow and put it on my tab. I told that to my friends. It's like because as soon as they get annoying, I will just like be like, babe, I don't want to talk anymore. And then I like and they forget that I was even like kind of maybe quote unquote rude to them, which I wasn't, but like anything in the moment that might be like, wait, what? They don't remember it the next day. And I put them at ease the next day being like, yeah, you said some dumb stuff, but I don't care. Like we all do. Or like move on. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah. Cause I think that's it a lot because I feel like they're like, why don't you drink so you don't judge me? It's not like we're not, they think that like, oh
no, I love when I smoke pot and other people smoke pot with me because then I'm like, they're not going to be like, you're high, Nikki. It's all like my own insecurity about people thinking I'm high. And now I just, I'm like, no, I need my medicine some days. And I don't care if people see me like, you know,
sucking on an apple.
One of my, and I buy these apples to make pipes out of. And yesterday, Andrew ate an apple, and I go, "Did you eat one of my pipes?" And now they're just pipes. A pipe a day keeps the doctor away. That's what apples are to me. I haven't eaten an apple. I've smoked out of literally 30 apples since I've been here. I make a new one every day.
But yeah, the rap
Andrew,
party.
Last night, the rap party. I decided to like. Andrew went before me. I decided to dress in clothes that I haven't been able to wear, cute clothes I haven't been able to wear on TV because they're all like light colored and white doesn't work on camera as well. So I wore this, I like dressed in short shorts and like fun sneakers because I wanted to dance my little butt off and like a cute top. And like I had like, my hair was still like, hadn't been cleaned since I was at the pool earlier. It was just like big and frizzy and like lots of curls. And I was coming down, it's this long boardwalk leading up into the party, and Andrew was already there, and I see Andrew and my friend Robin, and I'm like, yo, 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 like dancing, kind of like, I see you, like I'm walking up alone to this huge party down this boardwalk, and Robin, my friend, is like waving at me like, yeah, and Andrew's just kind of like, he's making this, I like realized that he didn't know it was me, and I could see that he was like almost like getting nervous, like, who's this new girl, like, wait, what's going on here, like I saw his like, male energy, like hormones, like kind of pulsing because he thought it was like a new girl coming in. And I literally realized that I was like, oh no, Andrew thinks that I'm like a new, like a hot babe he can hit on because I looked different. And so I started dancing wacky so that Andrew would know, like, don't sexualize me. Like I literally started doing like a jig because I'm like, it's me, Andrew. It literally was this moment in our podcast yesterday when I said that the brother sees his sister in a swimsuit and is like, damn. And then it's like, oh, what the fuck?
God.
We laughed so hard because I got up there and Andrew's like, I didn't know it was you. And I was like, oh no. And he was like, I go, who's this? What did you say?
I don't know. I was just like, who's this hot new blonde? It's like so this fun little blonde coming to the party.
And little. Then, oh my God. And, I've never been little in my life.
And she kept getting closer and the closer
and bigger
she got,
and bigger and more foreboding and more angry at you for something.
For eating her pipes.
Yeah. For eating all my pipes.
Oh dude. It was such a funny moment though, because literally for 5 seconds, I never wanted to fuck someone more.
No. Don't say that.
For 30 feet of that dock, boy.
Well, I'll tell you, the way that a woman feels on the other side of Andrew's, like, nervous, I want to fuck you energy from afar. Like, well, I've been around it so much that I know it. Like, I know, like, I've been around it when it's happening to other women, where he gets, like, kind of, like, quiet and, like, kind of, like, looks and, like, is kind of swaying back and forth and, like, trying to be, like, wait, who is that? Like, I'm looking, but I'm not looking because I'm cool. And, like, I knew it instantly. It was so funny because did you notice I started doing a jig as soon as I sensed that, like, sexual energy radiating from your eyes?
I'm fucking pumped that you could feel it
away.
From 80 feet away. My boy's got some sexual eyes.
No, it's just like, well, because you, when you see me, you're usually like, yo, yeah, yo. Yeah. And this time you were just like,
licking my lips like LL
yes,
Cool J.
Yes.
Yeah, I was
no, but it was so fun last night because I did lean into dressing, like, not sexy, but just, like, young and fun in a way that I haven't dressed on set. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to just, like, lean into wearing really short shorts and, like, this shirt that's too tight.
Yeah, it was a great look.
It was
obviously,
such a fun look.
I mean, if it turned me
and
on.
And then we danced all night long, and we were dancing so sexy. I was literally, like, not grinding, but I was twerking up against the dock railing because I didn't want any guys to, like, try to insert themselves behind me as I was twerking. But my friend Robin taught me, like, Caribbean dances, and we were just like, it was so freaking fun to dance and, like, and dance with girls and, like, guys who I'm friends with and have no, like, I hate dancing because I don't like when men are like, yeah, oh yeah. But this was a way to dance. It was, like, sexy, and it was for me, coming back to what I was saying before. Like, I was being sexy because I felt sexy and it made me feel good. It wasn't like, yay, men want to fuck me, and so I'm gonna feel better about myself. It was like, oh, I can be sexual and feel, like, almost sexual for myself.
That's funny that you talk about dancing like that, because, you know, I can keep a rhythm somewhat well, where, like, if like you didn't know me. Come on, just hear me out. I can move my hips a little bit.
Yeah,
where if you didn't know me, you go, oh, that's kind of like an attractive man dancing. But I always lean into dancing so silly because I don't want
people to think you're serious.
Yeah, that I'm trying. So, but last night I actually
tried.
Went back to, because when I used to go on cruises, I would, like, gyrate in a way where I knew it would get women's attention.
Really?
Without being silly. I would, like, dance sexy.
Oh my God. Did it get people's attention yesterday?
No, not at all. No, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, I just felt, it's funny. I, like, felt free enough to try to, like,
I did
look somewhat like.
I didn't see her dancing. But I was doing the same thing. Like, when I would catch someone watching that I was trying to get their eye, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get, like, a little strippery here. Who cares? And there's nothing wrong with it. It's like, my biggest fear is, like, someone being like, Nikki's trying to look sexy and she looks ridiculous. But I was also like, I am like sexy, and like I know that I do a good job when, like, I'm one-on-one with someone. Yeah. I can be very, like, I've been, like, you know, lightly hooking up a little bit here and there, if you haven't been able to catch the hints on the show. And I'm in that, like, when I'm hooking up, I am, like, a sexual being and much more free with my body than,
yeah,
like, the years I spent being never been kissed, Drew Barrymore 2003, whatever that.
I mean, yeah, I was grinding with a chair last night. That used to be a move.
I was literally
me and my
grinding.
Buddy Chris Hill, we would bring out a chair, just any chair, and we throw it in the middle of the dance floor to get attention.
Yeah.
And everyone would circle around, and then we would grind with the chair.
Yes.
And, like, fuck the chair.
That's
and, like,
funny.
And then I would pull the chair over and spoon with it.
That's
like, that was
really
my
funny.
Big
and
move.
Cry and hold it.
Yeah, I'd cry and hold it and be like,
tell
mom,
them about
call
your mom.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
let's get to the news.
Yeah, let's get to the news, though.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh, boy. I hope everyone's having a really fun time out there. I'm not being sarcastic at all. I really want you guys to enjoy your life and have a great day. Also, have all the swells. Am I talking like it sounds sarcastic? Yes, But am I being sarcastic? No. All right. Great stories today. A 23-year-old woman who only grew one breast says she refused a free boob job because she doesn't need to be fixed.
Wow, Andrew, I got to applaud you on the delivery of that story. It sounded like a story. It wasn't just like mush from the last sentence that really didn't connect. So people are like, is he telling a new story? Like, it was perfect.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot to me.
You almost ran out of air by the end of the story.
I did. I did.
Wait, so this woman was born with one breast?
She was born with one breast. Oh, no. I'm sorry. She was born with one, two breasts. One was a D and one's an A. It's called Poland syndrome.
Okay.
It's when one breast is dumber than the other. Ha ha, Polish joke. Okay. One suffering horrible teasing at school. Now she hopes to inspire other women to speak up.
Oh, look at that side boob. That is her. She has side boob from the middle.
Oh, it's so hot. As she was developing, doctors blew off her concern and told her it was a normal part of puberty. But yeah, so she has one A cup, one D, which to me, if you take the average, she has solid small C's.
Yeah, that one D is really popping. And the other one is like, that's interesting. As a woman that can have boobs that go from, you know, C's to D, D, double D's sometimes based on my weight and my period.
Keep going.
No, I can't. That's where it ends. I find it, you can see a perfect example of this in that photo of her. It's like, boobs make you look, I don't want to be like, make you look fatter as a woman.
No, and you don't, depends.
They pretty much any girl who's listening knows what I'm talking about. Like when you really like give into your boobs and make them bigger, like you look bigger in pictures on the top. But if you like, when I wear bras like this, that just like keep me flat, I can feel like tinier, and like boobs sometimes make me feel, bigger. Noah, do you know what I'm talking about at all?
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm more fertile. Like when I wear the push-up bra with the padding.
It's not fatter.
But
yes.
Like bigger tits make your waist look smaller because your tits are
huge. But sometimes you're not wearing a shirt that accentuates your waist. So it's just like you're in a sweatshirt with big boobs and it can make everything look bigger.
I get that.
But, you know.
So this girl, though, she wanted, people offered to give her a free boob job. She's like, no, I want to lean into.
Love it.
I guess you would call it a deformity.
Yeah.
Why are people so interested in symmetry?
Like, because it's why we're attracted to things. It's nature. Symmetry equals beauty. We don't know why, but our brains perceive it as like, oh, that's good genetics. That means my babies will live longer, less diseases. Like symmetry equals beauty.
I guess as a guy,
it's like a law.
Looking at a woman, like if you had one smaller arm than the other arm, that would maybe, but like if you have one great tit, like, you know what I mean? Like if anything's going to be off, it's... The tits is pretty,
I think double
pretty...
tits is a special thing, though. I think guys, I mean, they take one for sure, but I probably wouldn't make the same decision that that woman would make. But I really like that she's like, yeah, it's...
It reminds me of the Sound of Metal again, of like just being okay
the
with...
the Sound of Metal, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like not trying to fight what you are. Yeah. I mean, I have the same thing about like, well, we were talking about that girl that wanted to get her chin done. And I was like, I don't think you need it, but... You probably will be happier because you've been thinking about this a while. It's a very slight procedure. It would make your face look the way you want it to. And if you're, you know, people go, no, don't fix it. It's you. And it's like, okay, well then don't wear a mascara because your shitty blonde eyelashes that are short are also you. Okay, well don't wear concealer because that age spot on your chin is also you. Don't paint your nails because your shitty nail beds that are... you know, or your nails that are jagged don't need to be filed down because filed down nails are not you. So where does it end? So I feel like I do like people that just embrace their flaws.
Awesome.
I love Winnie Harlow. She has, she's the model with vitiligo. She's African-American, but has like, she's so gorgeous and leans into it so much. And that is a skin disease that I'm sure she has been, you know, her whole life, people are looking at her twice. You know, wherever you go as like a little person or someone with like vitiligo, that much, or like a facial deformity. And these are not, I'm categorizing the same thing, but something that where you go, even being an obese person, where you go and people could whisper, as someone who was anorexic, like, and looked like I had gotten out of it. Auschwitz.
Yeah.
I was walking around and everywhere I went, people whispered about me. I knew when I walked into a room and I saw a group, a table whispering of girls looking at me and then whispering, it wasn't because they were like, she's famous, because I wasn't. But it was, I was famous on campus for being the anorexic girl. And like, you just learn how to, like, you either lean into it or you shut yourself away because you're so scared of the anxiety of it. That show on TLC, The 1,000-Pound Sisters, I felt so bad for those girls that go out, because when they go out to eat, everyone's watching them being like, wow, look at how disgusting they're eating. And it's like so sad. So I try when I go out and I see obese people, or I pass a person who's struggling to get down the sidewalk who's obese, or someone in a wheelchair that's extremely deformed, or I struggle with whether to look at them or not, because I did hear one time that obese people sometimes feel like no one looks at them in the eye because people don't want to be rude by looking at them, or a little person, no one looks at them because they do the opposite. You know, everyone's staring at the person and I'm so freaked out by how they look, I'm not going to look at them. So I always try to look people in the eye when I'm, when I have that instinct of like, don't look at them.
Yeah.
And just smile.
You could look and smile. Yeah.
There's also this, there's a football player.
I don't point left. That was a joke.
There's a football player on the Seahawks, Seattle Seahawks, who has one arm. He has one arm and then a half of arm.
Oh, yeah.
And he made it to the pros. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I have like two or three followers on Instagram that are gorgeous, with women with you know, one arm or whatever. Yeah. And I think, like, yeah, when I was younger, I'd be like immature and like see it as like, but I'm like, wow, that's kind of hot. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, it's. Symmetry is fucking bull. Like, can we like try to get over?
I wanted like, these- to get a I want to get a shark to bite off my arm. Not like I don't want to get it, but if it happened, I would not be mad. I know that it would be a very hard life to live with one arm. I'm not like making it like, oh, it'd be so easy. But I think like scars, and like Padma Lakshmi has like an amazing scar down her arm.
Yeah.
Tina Fey has a scar that, you know, she doesn't talk about how it happened, but like any kind of like disfigurement where you went through something traumatic. That's why people get tattoos, to be like, this is from my dead mom. That was traumatic for them. They want to remember it. I think that scars are like such
this
a great
way.
This
girl lost her hand on TikTok in a,
oh yeah, I saw that in a boating accident. I saw
and
that.
She like leans into it so much. She's like, and I was so much
reaching for a raft and then my hand flew off. Yeah. I saw that. Let's get to the next story.
Next story, folks. Hope you're still having fun. A new study finds that people who use Facebook as an additional source of news in any way were less likely to answer COVID-19 questions correctly than those who did not.
Surprise, surprise.
I know. It's not really a surprise.
If you're getting your news from Facebook, you're probably not listening to this podcast, and you're probably bad at knowing facts.
What is it about older people where they just, they'll read a headline and they'll just stop there and they'll be like, that's the news, that's fact.
Because like, well, because they've been conditioned that when they see a headline, it's a it's news, it's journalism, because that's the way news used to be. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if now in this world, and you think it's just old people that are doing it? Not
No, young people too.
I was just using that as an example. But yeah.
A lot of old people, though, I think are conditioned that like, everyone. Oh, it's a headline. It looks like a headline. And in my day, when Dewey won the primaries and the kid on the corner was screaming at me with the paper, that was news. Like, what was printed was news. So like that, and it was facts. So I think they're relying on that still. And they're, people are stupid, and I don't mean that as like, I guess that is a negative connotation, but people aren't very well educated in this country. I think that plastics and stuff in our food is making us dumber. It's like Idiocracy. It's not people's fault, but it's because they're dumb.
Also, people
and they're
have-
easily deceptible, and which I'm easily, I don't even think deceptible is a word, but they're gullible? I fall for shit all the time. Yes, I'm gullible. I fall for shit all the time that smarter people than me would go, how could you fall for that?
Oh, so
you got fish, Noah, right?
I mean, it happens to me all the time. I'll have an idea or an opinion on something, and one person who I perceive is smarter than me will say two sentences, and that will completely negate anything I ever thought of.
So we're basically all kind of operating under like, and we're getting our news from friends who probably found it on Facebook. So I don't think I'm better than any of these people. I just like wouldn't get my news from Facebook. Where do you get your news?
Facebook. No. I get it from...
Okay. Well, that means you don't know.
I don't really check out.
I get my news from Reddit. I go to the news.
Twitter or from
Twitter.
I stopped getting my news from Twitter after watching The Social Dilemma, and I realized, like, okay, I don't want a manipulated experience. I just want to like find topics that I like and then go read everything I can about them.
Yes.
I kind of ignore the news, especially now like Trump's gone and like
You're in the Cayman Islands.
I don't put things in my brain that is gonna upset me, that's gonna affect my current
Last night, some guy was telling me that the government is gonna make UFOs. They're already making UFOs to scare the populace into believing that UFOs are real and that they're a threat and to scare us of them, so that they can control us. And I was like, I don't need this bullshit in my mind because I can't control it. So don't tell me conspiracy theories that will scare me. Building 7 that I can't, I don't have control over UFOs or the government making UFOs, but that's good to know. And fuck.
Also, the vaccine is actually a virus that they're putting in us that will kill us in 10 years.
10 years sounds like a lengthy lifespan to look forward to. Let's get to the next story before we get to why would I care.
Okay, next story, folks. A woman discovers her ex-boyfriend was her second cousin after he bought her a DNA test for her birthday.
Oof.
I mean, second cousin.
That's not bad. You can do that.
Yeah, first cousin. So I learned through our friend Rami Youssef's stand-up, not through the news of any sort that I read, but that if you have sex with your first cousin, it does double the chances of your kid being slower or whatever. But
the chances go from 0.0001 to 0.0002.
Yeah, it's
very slight.
Double sounds terrible, but it's still under 99%.
That's the same thing for any woman out there over 40 who's like, oh my God, I have to have a baby right now. Your fertility drops when you get like, I think 36 or something or each age, but your fertility cuts in half or whatever, and it's again one of those percentages of like 0.0001 to 0.0002. So like when you hear like you have half as much as a chance of getting pregnant or sudden infant death syndrome doubles. Mm-hmm. It goes from like 1 in 1,000 births to 2 in 1,000 births. So that's not. Double sounds crazy, but it isn't as bad.
So fuck your cousin is what we're saying.
So fuck your cousin and
but here's
pray
the thing.
That you're not at 0.002.
What's great about this girl got the DNA test for her boyfriend, like a fun little gift.
And
she's like, wait, I have the same name as your great granddad. Oh my God, you're my brother and I'm sucking your cock. Like it's so like 23andMe. There's been so many stories like that with 23andMe of like people finding out that their dad isn't their real dad.
Oh yeah. Or like, that their great uncle is the Golden State Killer. That's how they caught that dude.
Oh my God.
From DNA. So give your DNA because they can trace serial killers in your lineage and it like helps them.
Yeah. And I mean,
I'm going to do mine.
I'm sure I've had some second or third cousins that I get turned. If they were walking down a dock, I would try to fuck.
Oh my God. Seriously. Like we're like brother and sister and you were like turned on by me for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. And if we had a baby, it'd probably be pretty dumb because of me.
Yeah,
it'd be real stupid. I gotta read the news
because of all the cousin fucking in your lineage. Okay, why do I care?
Jewish. It happens. We all fuck each other.
Why do I care?
All right, Katy Perry's dress for American Idol first live show makes fart noise sounds.
Oh, because it's latex.
Yeah, it sounds like. But seems to be all your clothes you've been wearing making fart noises too.
Oh, yeah, that's just my asshole.
Oh, is it?
It's because my asshole is made of latex. Oh, so her dress is making fart noises. I got to get this dress because, yeah, that would be an easy way to just
let
him out.
Yeah, it's a great cover up, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing dress. I really like it. Yeah, I don't care at all. I guess it's like, I don't know what to say about this.
Well,
I don't care.
You don't like her to begin with.
No, that's not true.
Oh,
I love her music. On American Idol, I thought she was a little obnoxious. And I thought there was one clip where I saw her sing a song that a woman was about to sing. The girl's like, I'm going to sing I Don't Know Why by Norah Jones. And they're like, go play it on the piano. And while the woman's walking over the piano, Katy Perry starts going, don't know why I didn't call. And it was just like, why are you singing before this girl sings? You're so cool. like you're trying to be like great before this girl and give your little rendition before this girl sits down. And I just didn't appreciate that. But I'm sure that if I ever met her in person, I would kiss her ass and try to be her friend, because I actually I've heard that Katy Perry is very nice to people she works with, unlike other people that I idolize. Let's get to collection of K's.
Getting ready for some K.
So K. Oh, it's time for collection of K's. That was all my best friends from high school where we invented the word K. K is, I really love how much you guys have loved K, embraced it, started saying in your own lives. Yesterday, I posted that a guy literally said K out loud, and his wife then goes, "What did you say?" And he had to explain what K was to her after someone drove by, like, rah, rah, like in a car, and he goes, K. And his wife goes, "What?" And he had to explain it. It made me so happy that someone said K aloud.
Well, people have been calling out us for being K.
Listen,
in ways that I don't think we're being K.
I told you guys that I'm K sometimes. No one's immune from to being K. So when did someone say I was K? I remember this.
Well, someone said I was gonna address my dancing yesterday with my shirt off on that we put on Nikki Glaser Pod was
K. That wasn't
K.
It wasn't K. It wasn't K at all. No.
And you talking to the cock wasn't K because you were in a bikini.
Oh, yeah. Someone said that was K. Okay. Yeah. I want to address that. If I listen, I was in a bikini just because I was, but I didn't post the video because of that. I posted it because I was playing with this bird and the joke about a girl in a bikini feeding her buns to a hungry cock was
not
funny
K.
to me. Not, it wasn't
cool.
K. Now, I have been K before,
sure.
And I'll take it. And I like when you guys suggest maybe I was K. Do we have any K's that were sent in by listeners that we could verify as K? Let's see. Nick said, MLM consultants, this is a K.
What's MLM stand for?
Multi-level marketing.
Okay.
That's those are like pyramid schemey things. MLM consultants that are killing the game, especially that one where everyone was holding up the "you should be here" sign, acting like they made millions off of going on vacations, agreed to get coffee with them to make these opportunities turn from cool to K very quickly. Okay. People that, I don't know if, I mean, it is cool just to like have a sign that's like, "You should be here." I don't know what that means, that sign. I guess the timeshare. If like someone's at a timeshare and they're like,
well, a lot of these guys, they claim to have like the 4-hour work week, kind of like, "Oh, I made money off of cross promotional bullshit and I'm here and I could work from fucking essentially the Cayman Islands."
Yeah.
And not have to be in an office. Like, you're bragging about.
Yeah.
You probably have a trust fund. You probably don't even make that much money. You're probably getting paid by the hotel.
Yes.
You don't have millions of dollars. It's like you drive
Nick,
a BMW that the company you work for gave you for free because you like sold 10 Tupperwares.
Yes. What's the one above that, Noah, that picture? Oh, okay. So
it was in response to the airplanes flying over your pool.
Yeah, the airplane flying over yesterday was so good. This guy was flying a really low airplane over. People say he was dusting from mosquitoes, but he wasn't. He was just trying to, like, he saw us filming him, and he probably went back and forth, like, a dozen or so times.
Yeah.
Really low. Like, I said it was, like, Cayman 9/11 because it was, like, it was a smaller plane, but it was so low. I thought he was like kind of doing a joyride before he suicide crashed us. But it was so, after a while, it was just like loud and annoying and kind of scary. And I posted a video of it on our Instagram, Nikki Glaser Pod. And someone wrote, said, "Ha ha ha. This reminds me of when you guys text and are like, I saw you tonight." When guys text are like, "I saw you tonight," after actively avoiding you at a party. I don't know why, but it's the same energy. Totally. That is so cool. If a guy texts you and acts like he hasn't seen you, if anyone's acting like they like, "Oh my God, wait, what? You're right there." Like, "Oh, hey," like we've all done that, but that's cool. Here's another cool.
Yeah.
From Matt.
I mean, the interesting thing with that is like that guy can hit on a ton of different women and he probably didn't get laid. And then he hits you up later to try to fuck you
because he didn't.
Yeah.
He struck out.
Yeah. And he didn't want to waste his time in person with you, but later on at 2 a.m. Hey,
oh
I'll
my
fuck
God.
You.
So cut. There's, I mean, everyone's cut. Okay. Matt sent in. So my wife and I were in Portland, Maine a few years ago, and a guy was driving up and down the main road in a convertible. The Portland main road or the main road? Oh, the main, like the, in the,
wow. It's not easy reading stories.
Yeah. So my wife and I, So my wife and I were in Portland, Maine a few years ago, and a guy was driving up and down the main road in a convertible with the top down. I don't know why this guy reading is sounding about a cur. He was driving with the top down by himself, blasting Ace of Base, The Sign, for the whole city to hear. He must have passed us four or five times. That is the curse thing I've ever heard, but it's more like a curse from 1996, because that song is like so not cool now that it's almost funny.
That's what I was thinking when I read, if it was a different song, if it was like more of a kiss song.
But I saw the sign is not, it's like almost funny. But if it's attention grabbing, it's trying to get attention.
It's like the airplane. It's the airplane.
I count it as a kuh.
It is a kuh, but it is the song choice made it less kuh.
Yes.
For sure. You know what I mean? Like what would be the most kuh song that a guy in a convertible could be playing?
It starts with one thing. I don't know why.
It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. As a
I try so hard.
People.
Yeah. I wouldn't even recognize it anymore. Not that you knew me back then, but I tried so hard.
I mean, people that would drive. Did you ever have the guy that would drive around the movie theater with the lights under the car, the spoiler, blasting rap, and just. Back
oh my
and
God!
Forth.
Me and my friends in high school at Fort Myers, Florida. It was the where Kuh was born in Fort Myers in the spring break of 2001, or yeah, I think we called it Spoy, S-B-O-1, Spoy. We were like, oh, we're so excited for Spoy, and it was Fort Myers. Kuh was the year of Kuh. We were in Fort Myers during spring break, and there was like guys in convertibles playing like "Come, my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar boner."
And it was the actual singer.
We used to say "sugar boner" because like these guys just had boners just driving around. They were just like, "Oh, we got a lift from one of them." We got a lift into town from one of them. Our high school selves jumped in the backseat of this guy's car.
What?
You know, never like told in Fort Myers. Yeah, we were just like going to town or like going to like talk to boys downtown or like try our best. And we got in this car and it was like a slow drive. It wasn't even like, that wasn't like a dangerous thing to do. It was like on this like main strip. Maine is in the state. And we were driving down and my friend Hala and all my friends that you just heard on the kuh thing were all in the car. My friend Hala has a thing where she will pee if she laughs too hard. Like all of her pee will come out because she was born prematurely and she doesn't have Kegels. Like she doesn't have muscles to contain her pee. So if it starts, it just starts.
It
just
starts
all
with
goes.
One pee.
It starts with one laugh. It all comes out. She tries to plug it with her heel, but she can't stop. So she can plug it with
her
heel.
Keep that in mind.
She can plug it up with her heel, but the second her heel moves and she has to like get off the ground and like move to the next location, the pee floods out like a dam breaking. So my friends and I in high school used to try to make her laugh because if you got Hala to pee, it meant you were like the funniest because it would only happen if she was like hysterically laughing. So we got into this car and we were obsessed with boners in high school too. We would always be like, we would always do an impression of a Jewish mother telling a guy not to forget his boner. We'd be like, don't forget your boner when you go to the school dance. It's raining outside. Make sure you wear a rain slicker for your boner. Put on some boots and a slicker. Like, it was the dumbest thing.
My grandma used to literally, she's a Jewish grandma, she used to go, wear a condom. It reminds me of that. So she used to say that.
We
she
literally
goes,
used to
wear
say,
a
put
condom.
A slicker on your boner.
Yeah,
we didn't even know what condoms were when we were in high school. But we got into this car and that song came on, You My Butterfly, Sugar. And we just started going, Sugar, boner. And the guy like was so confused and didn't like it that my friend Hollis started laughing so hard. And she peed in his car and we were like, peace. And she just like peed in his car and we left. It happened so many times. Hala, shout out to you. I know you're listening.
But what was the first ever kid?
The first ever kuh was a guy named John who was in my art class in ninth grade. It was me and Hala. And this guy would always be like, yeah, smoked like five cigarettes this weekend. And we got like shwasted off some like my dad's Michelob Ultra. And like, I don't know, just like partied with some friends and like went to, and we like knew he wasn't. And we were just like, you're kuh. Like that is.
Who said kuh first?
And he kind of talked like that too. He was like, it's kuh. And we were like, kuh. So it started out being a sarcastic cool. Like, that's so cool. Wow, kuh. And then you do a peace sign with it. You go, kuh. Wow, that's really kuh. And then it just got to kuh. Like, Hala. My best friend was Laura Holly. On the field hockey team, we started calling her Hala. And then it got into, like, Hala was too hard to do, so we started calling her, huh. So at the end, it was just like, huh. Do you want to go to the mall? Like, it was literally, her name's Heh, so it's all the same.
Oh, I love it, dude. I've had so many in high school. I remember oh my God, I had this I have two moments. One, we opened up a liquor cabinet and I was like, oh, you got Jim Beam. Like, I pointed out.
Oh my God, liking any liquor is Heh. I'm sorry.
And my buddy was like, what? Did you just like shut the fuck
you
up?
No,
like,
Jim. Yes, yeah, he
yeah,
could.
Yeah, he could.
Can you? Oh my God!
And then my other, you'll love this story. So I go, I was senior year, and my dad, you know, my parents were divorced, and my dad was never that cool, but like I thought I got to the point where I could just be like, yo, dad, have a couple buddies over.
God.
I'm gonna buy some beers, and we're just gonna drink upstairs. And I go to my buddies. I was like, let me just talk to my dad real quick. And I go to my dad. I was like, yo, dad, I'm going to bring over a couple cases. I got some friends over. Just going to drink upstairs. He's like, no, you're not. He's like, no, you're not. I go, no, dad, it's gonna be good. Like I tried to be so cool, and my dad shut me down so hard, dude.
Very confident energy of a kid that had a good dad, but you didn't even know your dad well enough to know he wasn't cool.
That's the saddest part, dude. That is the saddest part.
Oh my God!
Did you ever have a
final thought?
What did you try to do that was cool? You've had to.
Oh, I mean, I was cool so much. Like, we would smoke cigarettes. I would pretend like. To like, even like my drinking days of being like, I love a vodka soda. Like, whenever anyone's like, what's your favorite drink? People who have favorite drinks, you're so lame. I'm sorry. You only like drinks because, I mean, I get it. Like, oh, I love Chardonnay. Wine enthusiasts are always like, I can't tell the difference. If you did a blind taste test between Chardonnay and red wine, and they were same room temperature, you would not know the difference. Wine connoisseurs, it's been proven. Watch Adam Ruins Everything. Alcohol is a lie. It's a poison, and you add flavors to it to make it palatable, just like you do meat. But no one really likes raw anything. Like, I know you're like, I like sashimi. You put soy sauce all over it and wasabi. Like, you have to dress it up because it's gross.
Yeah. Ketchup on a hot dog. Yeah.
Well, hot dogs are delicious because they're packed with other stuff that isn't just meat. It's not raw meat.
Love when we have a thing where I agree with you and then you're actually hot dogs.
Sorry, I can't allow it. But anyone who's just like, I love a good Maker's Mark on ice. Anyone who has something neat and you think you're cool because you know what the ultimate cool thing is? Is a bartender that like shakes it like
Tom Cruise
so aggressively, like and does like, you know, like muddles things and like I know that there is a whole artistry in that, and I'm losing listeners who like love to have like specialty cocktails, but you're so cool. Just drink a fucking Heineken. I know you're like, it's gross, all alcohol is gross, drink whatever you want, but like, you only like, I will only believe people like things if they're super sugary, because sugar's actually good.
It is so funny
alcohol's
when
not.
People are like, they're like, ooh, what's the tropical umbrella? And then you get it, and then you're at the bar, you're like, the tropical umbrella's, it's good.
Oh my God,
I've never had a tropical
but
umbrella.
But anyone who drinks hard liquor over rocks or neat, you are cool as fuck.
Did that
if you convince yourself that it's delicious, I understand drinking it because it's nice to sip on something that slowly gets you inebriated and you're like sipping it.
Black label rocks.
But you telling me that it tastes good, you're so full of shit. And by the way, black coffee does not taste good. It's signaling your brain that you're getting caffeine, which is a drug. So your brain is convinced that that equals good taste.
Yeah.
And I like the way I convince myself that I like the way coffee tastes too, but you're lying to yourself. It doesn't taste good. It's a drug.
When I was drinking a lot,
you drank coffee
though,
for the first time, you didn't like it.
When I was drinking a lot, I could tell the difference between Grey Goose and shittier vodka. Oh my God, the plane's back.
That plane is back. Cause back. Okay, final thought. I just wanted to close up what I said before. I told one of our friends here, this was in my opening part, but I was telling one of my friends about that book, Getting to I Do, because she was breaking up with her boyfriend. I go, he might be feminine energy and you might be bringing in your masculine, or like you might be like mixing energies. And she had a meeting with him. I didn't think I said this, Noah. And she, just the basics I gave her of that book, she's like, he went from like meeting up with me and being like, I want out, no question. And she didn't even want in or out. She was just like, this is how it goes. And she thought from a place of I think rather than I feel, because she was trying to be in her masculine energy because she sensed that he was feminine. And he ended up being like, I want to be with you. And like, giving her, saying all the things that she finally needed because she treated him as like this feeling person as opposed to this like man who needed to be respected for his thoughts. She was like, he's the woman in the relationship, not meaning like he's a pussy. She's like, he fucks me so well. He's so, I'm so fucking attracted to him as a man. He's so masculine in terms of like, I'm, but when I treated him the way like usually women are defined as that role of like being like more
feeling.
Can you
give me like a detailed example? Like
he was feeling neglected in her relationship because she works too much. So he wasn't feeling like she was being like, how do you feel, babe? And like he wanted to be like cuddled and like have his feelings met. He's emotional, whereas most men aren't as emotional as women. Usually women are the emotional ones. But a lot of times women aren't the emotional ones and men are the emotional ones. And she just finally acknowledged that and started like catering to his feelings, listening to his feelings. And he went from showing up to this meeting of being like, we're breaking up, to having his feelings heard for the first time in a relationship because she's been fighting that and not letting them in. And he like did a 180. He like, she said, Nikki, it was like, honestly, it was like magic. And I go, I'm not kidding you. Every girl in my, like the way this book and these methods in this book have worked for my friends, it's like magic. It's like the impossible becomes possible with these men. And I'm not kidding you girls out there listening to me. There is one guy in particular that I had literally blocked on my Instagram. I was kind of wishing that he would maybe pass away because he was ruining my friend's life because she couldn't get over him because he was just like this drug that she kept going back to and he would like totally treat her like shit. And like, not because he was a bad person, but because he was so flawed and misunderstood. And I was so mad at him and I wanted him out of her life. I hated whenever he would waft back in, you know, that kind of guy. I would have done anything for him to like get married and stay out of my friend's life or like die tragically, but like in a way that like didn't hurt him. And it was like very quick. And now this guy is one of my favorite people of all time. He worships my friend. He is one of my good friends and I can't even believe I ever thought of him that way and would have never predicted that he could be such a loving partner to my friend. And it's all because my friend used the methods in this book to better her life and get what she wanted in a relationship. And she's not faking anything. She's just better understanding herself and others.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because I think it's important to reinforce that it's not asking you to change who you are or to not be yourself.
Not at all.
She actually encourages women to ask for what they need. It's just to achieve balance in your relationship.
Yes. So again, the book is called Getting to I Do. I really recommend it to everyone.
Is there any chapters on seeing like a really close friend that's like a sister on a dock from 80 feet away and you want to finger them and then you
Andrew,
want...
Well, no,
I'm just asking if there's any chapters on that.
There is one. It's called Chapter 11 Bankruptcy, which you'll be filing if I fire you and you have no more income because you are saying things.
Can you treat me like I'm more emotional? Can you like be nicer about what you just said to me?
I think that your feelings are gross.
Valid? Oh.
We'll see you tomorrow on the podcast, you guys. Thank you for being our besties. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. Follow us on Instagram, Andrew T. Colin, Noah Injection, NOA Injection, and Nikki Glaser Pod on Instagram. And we'll see you tomorrow. We got two more days of the pod, which is, can't wait.
It's care.
Care.
Care. Come, my baby.